Goldberg!
Gilbert! Gilbert! You should cut that. That was Pete. That's going to shatter someone's fucking speakers.
Well, no, that's going to be the intro and then the intro play. Gilbert!
So you throw in the Brain Destroyer.
You're sitting there like a fucking baboon. Hey, fucking whiskey, sir. I couldn't stop it. Fucking three or four, right?
Wow. I'm CM Punk, and I wish we would stop genocide, you know?
Money blow. Money blow.
Oh, yeah. The clown. The only one of you buffoons who doesn't make me laugh. And as for you, I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk.
I love our intro because it is like that climbing, you know, with the, then it just gets more and more insane as it goes. It's great. What's the name of your buddy that records that?
That was Sambro.
Sambro. Shout out to Sambro. Yeah.
On the track Joy, album Growth.
It's on Spotify and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have Bandcamp if people want to actually send them money?
I don't think so, but I mean, try it. I don't know.
You could, yeah. It's the Venmo is at MRDream916.
No, it's not.
Yeah, go ahead and send them any amount. We're recording two podcasts within the span of like 96 hours. Is this a new record for us?
Yeah. Well, it's to compensate for the previous 5 weeks.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. We're still making up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was a famous man once said there are weeks or there are decades where hours, and then there are days where time, where months.
There are weeks where decades happen, and then there are decades where it feels like only a few weeks happened.
Oh, okay. It might be the other way around.
Yeah, it might start with the first one.
Because it hits harder when you're you know, shit's been popping off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought of that when we recorded the first time, that quote.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. When you record every week, you have to get to, like, into the muck sometimes.
Yeah.
It's kind of nicer to space it out a little bit, but it feels like, again, like this year has been an entire year packed into a few weeks.
True. But the main issue and why we're recording on Monday of this week, right after the Super Bowl, is because I'm going...
You need to blink that out. We can't say Super Bowl.
We don't get paid for this, man.
At some point, someone's going to come and find us, dude.
Super Bowl. Goodell Super Bowl.
Goodell Super Bowl. Disney.
Elon, pedophile, Disney, Google.
Kill all police officers in the streets. Murder everyone now. Like just
we passed 2 minutes, so we're good.
Oh, okay. We're clear for YouTube. I've never watched any John Waters, but that clip of Divine, do you know what I'm talking about? Where she's like, my politics are trash, or filth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit rules.
Is because I'm going to Genesis, so I won't be here for our normal recording
That's right. I was wondering. I thought you just liked me.
I mean... I wouldn't come back to this apartment if I did.
It's pretty good. It's just definitely you've already rubbed your eyes a few times. I might need to do some cat hair cleaning.
Well, no, I mainly rub my eyes because the sun's right in them.
Oh, that's true. I could pull the blinds shut. Should I do that?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, all right. Talk to the people about the big game. Introduce the big game.
So I know a lot of people were not wanting to root for the Eagles, but definitely just the Super Bowl is the thing that everyone kind of does unless you're being forced to fucking work that day. Even if you don't like sports, your family or a good amount of your friends are watching it. So probably the thing that everyone should have liked the most, because I know a lot of white, rich pedophiles didn't like the halftime show this year, was that the national anthem was actually like super New Orleans theme, which I thought was cool.
Did they have... I missed it. I didn't actually... I told you this morning, but, you know, it was an adventure to get the Tubi app going on the television.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God forbid you could just, like, go to one website. It has to, they all are, like, you know, branding deals. Anyway, sorry. What was the national anthem? It was, do they have, like, a big brass band out or something?
In the rocket red glare, the bomb. That our flag, it was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner, yeah, wave?
it was just a nice, like, different swing than the very traditional singing, like, renditions of them.
Yeah.
If you were to have a playlist of, like, the best versions of national anthems, that's probably in there.
Yeah.
Leading up to the game, the panel that, like, does their stupid picks of who they think are going to win, it was 3-2 Eagles, I think.
Because it was on Fox, so we had, like, Howie Long and those guys doing their picks.
Gronk.
I saw Gronk was there, yeah.
Yeah, Gronk's one of those guys now.
Is he able to, like, form sentences?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
What's his role then on the broadcast?
It's like Shaquille O'Neal's role in that NBA TNT.
That was the first person I thought of, but I think Shaq is very intelligent.
Why?
Because he's able to articulate things occasionally in a very simple manner.
No, his words are rings, Ernie.
Yeah.
That's all Shaq says.
That's all he needs to say.
And calling Chuck a big dummy.
Yeah.
That's all he says.
Yeah.
We used to say, Shaq's a bomb.
Those have to have four rings.
Yeah, I know.
Just a little brain teaser before we go to break.
Don't you have to have a brain to tease some people?
I might not have a brain, but I got four rings.
Jack, when you walk into a room, you hang your hat somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's what he's saying, that they hang their hat on defense.
First of all, I got four championships. I don't know what the hell it means. Big dummy.
I'm Kyrie Irving and a terrific Kevin Love. And
but it takes more than that to win the championship.
They just won the championship. What do you mean it takes more?
Chuck don't know what he's talking about. That's why he ain't got none of them things. I got four and Kenny got two. Big dummy.
So thus it's Gronk.
Eh.
It's the same.
I think maybe it's the quirked up white boys of the NFL that I don't really. I mean, I get that they've mostly been around black men their entire lives, but I just don't buy it from Gronk. I don't know how he grew up. Maybe he grew up in a more, you know, urban area, but it feels like, you know.
I mean, he's pretty big on Trump. So
that's what I'm saying. It's like Travis Kelce shit. It's like they just like dating black women. It's not that they are actually, you know, for the culture.
All tight ends are fucking morons.
Now, I would say that Shannon Sharp
True.
like a small exception, but he's still like a big he's just a big beefy boy. He's not dumb, but he does come from a generation of men that, you know, would still refer to women as broads and like a, you know what I mean?
And have sex with them on IG Live.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like all the unks of the world, you know, got to chill out a little bit.
That and Antonio Gates has a good head on his shoulders and he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, who I liked growing up.
Do they do that ceremony right before
the
Super Bowl now?
They don't.
Is it like WrestleMania?
No, it's not WrestleMania where it's like everyone has their song and they play montages of that. They kind of just like list it off. I'm sure it's a different day where they give them way more flowers, but it was just kind of them standing there. And Sterling Sharp was actually in this year's class, but he couldn't make it.
Why is that? What was he doing?
What was Sterling Sharp doing? What? I just look up him and he's dead.
Anything related to like football, I imagine, is like around the Super Bowl. Like what else would people be doing?
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't there.
All right.
Anyway, that's all pre-show for the big game.
What did you guys, you just got together with your family?
Yeah.
Was there anybody else there? Just relatives?
It was just dad, stepmom, and Rebecca.
Nice. What's the food situation like?
So it was chips and dip to start.
Yeah.
And there was like, you know, a bean dip and guacamole. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to be favoring guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
And then she brings out the spinach artichoke dip. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be favoring the spinach artichoke dip. And then she brings out the crab dip. Like, oh, I'm going to be favoring the crab dip. And then wings came out.
This is all before kickoff?
No, the wings, I think, came up sometime like end of the first quarter.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I had many of those leading to heartburn at 4:40 in the morning, waking me up.
Oh, man.
So that was the spread.
Yeah. I didn't, my contribution to my Super Bowl party was I brought over about, let's say like $600 worth of Magic cards. And they were mostly just decoration. Like, because we're just sitting there socializing, whatever, but I have all these boxes. And so I just put them out like on the table. And so they were kind of like the set dressing.
Did you have like bunch of bird theme ones out on the table or something?
That would have been a cool, dude. Okay, now you've inspired me. Like now you get your collection big enough, you start building decks around the theme of the night, and then you can play the theme of the night. But no, yeah, it was just, and then I brought like some non-alcoholic beers. We had like I was hanging out with our friend Mr. Eric and his partner, and we went over to their place, and they had their neighbors down, and it's this crazy situation where, you know, they're all from Ohio, mm-hmm. They're all Clevelanders, and I guess Cleveland's got a lot of beef with Philadelphia because Philadelphia pollutes the river and it all just goes downstream to Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Which I wasn't familiar with. So yeah, they had a lot of Philadelphia hate, but obviously more excited to see Patrick Mahomes cry. So,
yes. Yeah.
But their neighbors, they went to high school with them in Ohio.
Oh.
And so it's like, you know, it was like hanging out with all my friends from high school, except I didn't go to high school with them.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get
so
that.
They're talking about like, you know, Jesse's doing this and so-and-so overdosed. And I'm like, yeah, this is sick.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't see any. We didn't get the game going until like maybe 3 or 4 minutes into the first quarter. So I don't even know what was happening.
So let's go to the coin toss.
The coin toss, yes.
Grink.
Well, yeah, what was your. Did you have any money on the game? Do you have any bets?
No, we didn't bet on this
one. Okay, the Super Bowl, you're kind of like, no. And also, it's your team.
We would have bet probably if it wasn't the Niners or Eagles in it.
Yeah.
But the last three have been right. Niners or Eagles.
Okay.
He asked me, like, what's it going to be? I'm like, it's obviously tails. So on the Chiefs. And I'm like, who gets the pick? Oh, the Chiefs do. Oh, they're going to pick tails and they're going to elect to kick and it's over. And thus it went tails, Chiefs like to kick. And I'm like, all right, wrap it up. It's over. Then we're able to stop them on their first drive. I think, no, they got a first down, which was their only first down of the first half. And then Eagles got the ball. And then it got to fourth down. Fourth and five, we go through it for it. Complete pass to A.J. Brown. They called it back for a soft-ass offensive pass interference call, which then Twitter blew up being like, rigged, it's already in for the Chiefs, it's over. Like, immediately the word rigged was trending.
That's great.
And then no other like horrible call against the Eagles happened the rest of the game.
Yeah, and then it was just, I mean, I think when we tuned in, it was already 7-0 or something, right?
Yeah.
What was the first like touchdown for the Eagles? Was it like a...
It was a Jalen Hurts run from like 3 yards away.
Oh, okay. Just your standard, you know.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah. Then after that, we kicked a field goal with Jake, which our snapper got called for false start, which you don't see that too often.
Yeah.
So push it back 5 yards, drilled it anyway. And then it was like 10-0 and 49ers fans were like, very funny, 10-0. Uh-huh. That's where they had it last year. And they were starting to get a little triggered by that.
Are you seeing this on Twitter?
Oh, next to me. Or is this, Grink is a big 49ers fan.
I know,
fan.
You said 49ers fans, and I was like, is this the general Malou, or is this just, you know, on the hot couch?
There were people on Twitter being like, you know, Mahomes is still good with a 10-point deficit.
Yeah.
But then... Cooper DeJean, our rookie corner, got his first interception in his career, and it was a pick six.
I saw that.
That was the moment that people were kind of like, all right, it's over.
Wait, that was the first interception of his career?
Of his career.
That's fucking insane, dude. I can't even imagine.
And
I would have probably had to go and like take a nap afterwards from the level of adrenaline running through the fucking Super Bowl. You were to get a pick six, and it's your first ever?
And it was his birthday.
No shit. What the fuck? Yeah, my nervous system would just shut down out of like protecting myself from like just getting too juiced. It would be like, you need to go lay down for a few hours.
Yeah. Pick six, first pick of his career in the Super Bowl on his 22nd birthday.
Is he a rookie?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So at 17-0, I'm like, all right, if we could close out this half with them still scoring zero. Kind of over, but like being a very anxious and passionate sports fan, I'm like, I'm not going to say it's over yet. We go to halftime.
Well, I was saying, you know, as we were approaching the end of the first half, I was like, you know, Vegas is going fucking nuts right now.
Yeah.
I think I've told you this, but I worked at a sports book
for
a while. And that was super, I mean, it was a very casual, like old man one, not in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mostly guys just betting like shitty parlays and stuff. Not like a huge, I think the biggest bet I took was like a couple hundred bucks, like nothing crazy. But I learned a lot about sports betting and like, you know, betting halves is actually how you make a lot of money if you're a sharp. Sharp, if you don't know the term, is like, you know, a guy who is just a smart bettor, basically. It originates from guys who would like do it for other people. you know, because back sports betting has always been illegal.
I thought it was called a shark.
No, sharp. S-H-A-R-P.
Oh. Okay.
Is the term for someone who, and specifically when it comes to sports betting, is able to, they're either betting for other people or they're just like a smart bettor. They're not just a guy walking in off the street being like, oh, my favorite team, whatever. Yeah. They're there to make money. It's like they're part of their, you know, their income. Yeah, it was fun learning from the sharps, especially around like different sporting events. But the Super Bowl, it's all just, you know, there's all a bunch of silly ass prop bets and shit.
Yeah.
If we had, maybe I can look one up up here while we're talking, but we should have looked up some prop bets.
Well, there's always Gatorade. That's like the biggest one every year for the Super Bowl.
We'll talk about that when we get to the end of the game.
Right. Yeah,
I have some conspiracy. I got my tinfoil hat on when it comes to the Gatorade, just considering the time that it happened.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyways, right at the end of the first half, I was thinking, like, Vegas is going nuts. And also, wow, I was doing the fake headlines in my head of, like, Patrick Mahomes solidifies his legacy, biggest Super Bowl comeback of all time.
Right.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because it was 24-0 because there was another A.J. Brown touchdown before the first half ended.
Right, yeah.
So 24-0 as we head into the much-anticipated Kendrick Lamar halftime show.
Yeah.
Which I think, as much as I do want to dunk on people who say, like, oh, it's awful, it's like those are rich white guys who, like, don't like being called a pedophile.
When did we have the when did we have the last awful halftime show? They've all been pretty good that I've seen.
Yeah, because last year was Usher.
Okay, yeah. Is that the one where they brought out all the old heads?
No, that was, I think, Eminem three years ago.
And then Beyonce was...
Well, Rihanna was before Usher.
And she had the Smash platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was pregnant as hell.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't actually watch a lot of those performances. I just saw clips.
Yeah.
Just because I don't usually watch the Super Bowl.
I think the last one outside of, you know, the 90s rap one was, I think, two before that, or maybe just the year prior, was Chiefs, Niners. Everyone was loving Shakira and Jennifer Lopez.
Okay, yeah.
I remember people were popping off on that one.
Yeah.
This one, like, I think it was kind of over-anticipated because people just kind of wanted a Supreme Drake smash face event. But he did a little more, like, you know, kind of political, like, flair to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the whole Samuel Jackson being over Sam and all that.
Yeah.
He still did, you know, a good amount of Drake's shit. Like, he didn't say the word pedophile, but it's like, you know, everyone has that picture of Say Drake.
Is it? Well, I mean, he didn't have to say it when the whole stadium singing along.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not that familiar with, I haven't listened to his new album.
Yeah.
Because I know what Kendrick's talking about and I appreciate the work that he's doing. But like, I was telling my friends, I was like, you know, I was kind of asking them, you know, and again, these are all white people I'm hanging out with. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, we're cultured. We're for the culture.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, they're explaining to me like, well, you know, it's his lyricism. He's one of the few like conscious rappers that's like mainstream these days. Like there's a few guys doing it, but like he's doing it on like this level that it's also like, you know, he put out a fucking diss track that was the biggest bop of the year last year. Like that didn't happen.
Literally won a Grammy for it.
Yeah, it's seminal. I always use seminal, but just because I like the word semen. But I think it's a seminal moment in like hip hop, or like it was a big deal because like diss tracks are not, those are what were on like, you know, mixtapes and stuff. That wasn't something that fucking went mainstream like that.
Yeah,
especially not where you're just like bop bop. Especially like a back and forth like. Whatever. So, like, as far as like a culmination of that storyline, that was pretty crazy. The, the diss itself, like on that national stage, was wild. So, like, he didn't, the lyric pedophile is in that song.
Yeah, you know.
But he just blanked himself out.
Yeah, he didn't say it.
Okay, because what was interesting.
Okay, certified lover boy.
Certified, and then he just.
And he stopped. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that the screenshot that's going around of him just like smiling?
No, that's Say Drake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's, Say Drake, I heard you like him young, which he did say.
Yeah. And he's just like looking directly into the camera. I did really love all the video, the direction, because they did a thing, and maybe they've done this in recent years, but they shot a lot of it like a music video. They shot it like for TV. Like the part where there's, it's like a cross in the middle of the field, and they're going around, and it's like, and he's like popping up into the frame.
Yeah.
I was like, this shit is sick as fuck. Like, this is so cool.
Kind of reminded me of the Weeknd one, just like, the one where he's like trapped in like the like the mirror maze. Do you remember that?
I've seen clips of it.
Just
this is the first. Like, this is lost. The first like entire Super Bowl broadcast I've watched in maybe a decade. Okay. Like it's been a long time. Yeah.
And then Kendrick was also wearing a little A necklace.
Yes, we were. I was talking with Mr. Eric about that, and
A minor.
Right. We were trying to figure out what it meant. I was like, he's not from Atlanta, right?
No,
like,
no, no.
Yeah, yeah. And so he sends me this. He says, and I'm going to use his real voice here. This is
okay.
He says, remember Kendrick's lowercase A necklace during his halftime show? I guess that's to put a big line in a song, quote, not like us, where he says, quote, trying to strike a chord, well, it's probably A minor.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent along, and this I will use this image as the as the image for the Chaotic Pussy upload of this broadcast. But it's just this.
Yeah, you can send me that. And I'll use that. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Just you know, a smart dog letting you know.
Yeah.
Halftime, man. And then I didn't know this, but Serena and Drake used to date. Apparently,
yeah, that's what I learned also yesterday. That's why Serena was because
I saw some bad bitch crip walk and I was like, what's her Instagram? And I was like, it's
the goat.
I was like, oh, wait, that's Serena Williams. And I was like, what the fuck? And she's like looking directly in the camera and getting like her moment, right? Like right after that line in the song. And I'm just like, okay, all right,
yeah. So, yeah, that was the halftime show. And then,
well, that was what was on TV. Do you want to talk about the? Have you not seen this on your feeds that there was someone during the broadcast that was waving a Palestine Sudanese flag?
Yes, I saw that. Like I think sometime in the third quarter, I saw that.
Okay, clip. I was gonna ask because I told you this before we started recording, but like so my phone is what we were using to stream the game. So I actually was off my phone for probably the longest time in maybe like 10 years as well. Like, yeah. Because the entire Super Bowl broadcast, right, for 4 hours, my phone is plugged in and I can't like.
Yeah.
The way the app works is you couldn't like it was screen mirroring, right? So I could not look at anything. So I was like having to live fully in the moment. It was wild. But yeah, as soon as the game ended, I got on there and I was like, oh, there was some shit during the halftime show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff where it's like, I don't know all the details on that yet, but it's basically whether it was someone who was part of the crew already or a protester, you know, an activist that ran on the field, someone had a Sudanese. It was a combination, right? Like Sudanese
and Gaza. And yeah,
it said Gaza on it, but it's the Palestinian flag.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. But I think also Palestine is harder to spell. That's easier to fuck up.
Yeah.
And if you're if it's something you're doing real quick and you're, again, literally the biggest stage. As an activist, like if you're trying to like, you know, show up and show out, like you're trying to get the simplest messaging possible. And so G-A-Z-A, boom, S-U-D-E-A-A-N, boom. And the way they were running around makes me think that they maybe weren't part of the performance itself.
That's what I was thinking too, because I feel like if it was, why do they tackle him?
Well, we know why they would tackle him.
Well, yes, but like, I don't know, I feel like if... I mean, obviously, that wouldn't be a thing where Kendrick was like, hey, Goodell, I'm going to have a guy running around with a free Palestine flag.
Of course not. But I don't think the security at the Super Bowl would allow something that there's no way they knew about it. And so as soon as that happens, they're all on their walkies saying, take that person out or whatever, because they don't know what is happening.
Right. It is weird the thing that's weird is like, he never was behind like Kendrick really, or like never like had the opportunity to like get behind him to like actually be like on camera for the broadcast.
I don't think that was their goal, because obviously there's cell phones. Like if you try and get on the broadcast, like, cause then you're taking away from Kendrick's performance and what he wanted to do as an artist.
Sure. But I guess, I know that's the argument that he was part, like Kendrick knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what's going to be interesting in the next couple of days. Obviously I think Kendrick is smart enough considering his career.
Yeah.
That like he's chosen. I don't think Kendrick has gone out and been like waving a flag like Free Palestine or anything, but yeah. I don't think if he was pressed on it, he would like reject that necessarily. Right.
Yeah.
I think you don't know anything about his takes on it on purpose. Because there is an aspect of like, you know, getting blacklisted. Like that's just straight up. Like we're at that point now. We were at that point before the current administration. And we are definitely at that point now where if they don't want you to be in the public eye, you won't be.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how big you are, besides if you're like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's all over social media. Like if somehow we are the first time you're hearing about that and you've opened Instagram or Facebook in the last few days, I don't know how you found this podcast because like that was like literally it still, if I were to open my phone, I would see the first five videos would be that guy waving that flag. You know what I mean? Like that's literally every page. But yeah. So I don't know. That was cool. I hope they're safe. I'm sure there will be a bail fund for them or something if they haven't already been disappeared to Gitmo.
Yeah.
but yeah, that the performance was sick. And then, you know, we go into the second half. Who started with the ball?
The Chiefs.
Oh, they did. And then it was just another three and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they didn't get into the red zone.
Until the fourth quarter.
Until the fourth quarter.
Or maybe the end of the third. Yeah, the end of the third, I think it was 6 to, like, 27 or something like that, where we kicked another field goal at some point, and then Xavier Worthy, for the Chiefs, had one of the best receiving nights for a losing team that, like, got blown out.
Did he get, like, it was like 100 yards or something?
Like,
or?
2 touchdowns, 7 catches on 7 targets, and, like, 175 yards.
Yeah, he had, like, he was the only guy doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a little, again... dog with glasses nerdy. Eagles brought zero extra help. It was just 4-man rush the whole time.
They just have a beast D-line.
Yeah. It's 6'6", 330, like everybody.
Is that number 90? What's number 93?
Williams.
Insane.
Yeah.
Like, just looking at that man, as someone who's been admiring a lot of male bodies as of late when it comes to wrestling, definitely not any Pornhub searches. Okay, I ain't gay, bro. I just love seeing meat slapping meat.
The guy who got the fumble,
yes.
Williams.
Yeah. Like seeing him on the sideline afterwards and just like sitting there with the oxygen. I'm like, imagine being such a big ball of man meat. Mm-hmm. Like you are just going full. And like the only way that like we're keeping you alive is you have to get that pure oxygen on the sideline because your body is like just so massive.
Yeah.
It requires so much oxygen to run. And it's just like this giant tank engine that just needs like the highest form of fuel possible in order to even like get through the day. It's crazy.
I think back in the day, SNL had a bit because in the Steelers Cardinals Super Bowl, I think Harrison was the name of the safety who picked off in the end zone and ran like, I think for almost a touchdown, like 98 yards. Mm-hmm. And he immediately was like dying and like on the gas. So SNL had fun with that. So I was glad to see a big man in the gas mask again for NFL.
Yeah. Was there anything before, like, we got to, like, the end of the game? Was there anything else that was happening?
For me, the coolest thing was Bond got an interception. And it was, like, one of the most impressive interceptions that I've ever seen. There was a point where Mahomes, like, it was, like, third and short. And I'm, like, all right. And I did call it. Green could verify. I'm, like, this is a Travis Kelce down. And he threw it right at Travis's ankles with no possibility for him to catch it.
Nice. Real quick, while we brought up Travis, are they together come this time next year?
She, I think, is a fifth of the way through of the breakup track right now.
Okay. That album's in development. It'll be a single that comes out like end of the summer or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Like Sabrina Carpenter put out something in the summer, but then the next day, Taylor will drop the I'm Breaking Up with Travis track.
Yeah. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, I wasn't really paying attention to the broadcast, but also with the Chiefs getting blown out, not as many, and Travis not getting any receptions, not as many opportunities to cut away to Taylor. So I feel like the prop bet on how many Taylor cutaways you get would have been. Because last year, I remember it was like 8 or 9, I think I counted total. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. No, definitely not as many this year because there was also, like, the star of the show was Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's an Eagles fan? She's from Philadelphia or something?
I don't know. She was definitely repping them.
Is the Super Bowl now where we just parade traditionally attractive white women out? Because it is all the kings and queens are there. So these are just the princesses?
Perhaps. I know the Eagles super fan I know that's a celebrity is Bradley Cooper, who before the game is like, here come your NFC champion Eagles on the broadcast.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because he had that movie... with Jennifer, I forget her last name. He plays like a bipolar guy who like caught his wife cheating on him or something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But his dad, played by De Niro, is a big Eagles fan. I believe it's the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's set in Philadelphia. That movie's weird. It ends with like a big dance number at the end. It's like a very serious movie.
Did it come out in like 2010?
2012. Oh, it's the Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, okay.
Did you ever see that?
No, I have not.
Great movie, actually. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. It's real in a way that, like, a lot of times, as someone living with the conditions that are, you know, supposedly portrayed in that movie, it does a pretty good job. It's not too over the top dramatic with its craziness. But the best part about it is his dad, De Niro, is like an Eagles super fan, and the thing with any sort of mental health stuff is it's usually hereditary. And his dad isn't bipolar, but he's like extreme OCD. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with like traditions around the Eagles. And so there's like scenes where he's getting upset that like his son isn't doing X, Y, and Z or whatever for the Eagles game. And it's like, I raised you in this house. Are you just fucking disrespect me? Yeah.
I will say, when they called back that AJ Brown catch in the first quarter, I did go to the second screen in the garage by myself.
You're like, I need to go process.
And then there's a one point where Grink tries to come into the room to tell me like the dips were coming out or something. And I was like, and I pointed my finger gun at him. I'm like, don't disturb me.
What happened?
Dad.
What the fuck happened? Dad. The birds lose. I lose a fucking fortune. A fortune to Randy. What the fuck did you do? You fucking lost it. I thought you said you had it together. You were solid.
I am solid. I was solid at the game, Dad. I'm solid. I'm solid now.
You fell apart. What are you fucking talking about?
And then there was a very weak call that the Eagles got. Mm. And that was the moment where I'm like, all right, that was a makeup call. And I went back into the main room. And
okay, you were able to process it.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah, I gotta rethink this whole thing.
So that didn't last too long. I probably lasted about 4 minutes, me being in the garage by myself.
Yeah. So it was before the 2 minute warning, I know. And I feel like that would have been an incredible bet to make, that someone was getting Gatorade dumped on them at like the 3 minute mark.
3 minute mark.
That was a very early.
That was early. People are like going back and forth, like, that's wild, that's disrespectful, whatever, on, like, Gatorade being dumped before the two-minute warning.
When you're up by 30 points?
Yeah. I don't know. Some people are mad about it, but I think more people than mad are just like, that's crazy that this is happening to the Chiefs.
Yeah. So when that happened, my initial thought was, oh, well, obviously, you know, if you do it this early, he's not looking for it. Right?
Right, yeah.
So you get to really dunk it on him.
Mm-hmm.
But then my brain started going wild because, like, they don't actually drink Gatorade on the sidelines, right? It's just a branding thing for the buckets. It's not actually Gatorade. Like, because Gatorade is, like, what I can drink. I can go to the store and buy Gatorade. If I'm a professional athlete, I'm getting, like, the fucking hyper electrolyte. You know what I'm saying? There's a nutritional drink out there that is more hydrating than a Gatorade. They're not selling you the thing that the fucking million-dollar athletes are consuming during the biggest game of their lives. So the idea that it's, like, Gatorade or something is interesting. And I was just thinking about it, and I was like, does that bucket they dump on him, is that even one that they drink from?
No.
That's just, like, there on the side. That's, like, this is the one we're going to dump on him. Maybe that one actually does have Gatorade in it. Or maybe it's just yellow dyed water. Like, I don't know.
I think it's Gatorade.
Yeah.
Well, what I liked about it was A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, our two wide receivers, were doing the dumping.
Oh, okay.
And there was a point where, like, they're about to sneak on him, but, like, Nick turns around or moves. So they very casually, like, relaxed.
Oh, okay.
And then dumped him.
Gotcha.
Speaking of Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts had a beautiful dart over the top to Devontae Smith for our last touchdown. Otherwise, a bunch more Jake field goals. And then I think after dumping Nick, our coach, they scored another Xavier Worthy touchdown.
Yeah.
Which I like, kind of saw coming because the defense was so relaxed and like it was so late in the game that Mahomes just had to take shots.
Yeah. Like, it's going to happen. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, 22-40 with like all but six of those points being super garbage time for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. So, like, as far as, like, a viewing experience goes, where does the Super Bowl, like, rate for you? Both as an Eagles fan and as just a football enjoyer.
Well, as a human being, this is, since 2018, I think the fifth happiest I was. The Patriots-Eagles Bowl was the happiest I've been since 2018. Obviously it's like sure, overall you want to have a close game and win, but if I'm going to, I'd rather, there's also something to be said of having a stress-free time and getting to enjoy victory. And it's just so much worse the other way, where if this was happening to the Eagles the whole time.
Did you find you were actually able to enjoy it in the second half? You weren't stressing. By the time we get like halfway through the third quarter, were you like, okay, we're good? Or was there still something in the back of your mind like, well, technically, if they scored on like two plays on every possession.
Well, since Brady was in the booth, there's always the legacy of Mahomes versus Brady, where I'm like, as you also thought, the headlines of like, Mahomes actually better come back than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think really probably the strip sack by Williams was like the actual exclamation point. I'm like, all right, Absolutely. There's actually no recovery now.
Yeah, yeah. That was sick.
And then I think I was still standing. I think when they dumped the Gatorade on him is when I sat down.
You're like, all right, I'm just chilling.
Yeah, man. I'll just sit down.
Time to look at my phone.
Yeah.
Just unwind a little bit.
Oh, okay. So I can understand a lot of people, again, not liking the Eagles, which is fair.
Yeah.
So I can understand people like, oh, that Super Bowl sucked. But it's like, you did, you know, get to see a little dent into the Elon empire. So it's nice to win something as a nation who doesn't want to be a fascist state.
Yeah, even if it was purely a symbolic victory, much like 2020 when we decided to tear down all the statues. Meanwhile, police were just given billions and billions of more dollars.
And giving the students
the
hands.
We got rid of the fucking colonizer statues, though. We did it, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun, especially because all the fucking chuds were there, right? Trump was there.
Yeah.
Getting
booed.
Was he? I saw the one photo of the guy like giving him the double birds.
Yeah. When he was walking on the field, it was thunderous boos.
Oh, he was on the field?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
It was pregame, so
Oh, okay.
So it was probably as even of a split, because the Eagles fans, you know, everyone who's there just because they're rich were rooting for the Eagles on the most part if they didn't have any alliances. Mm-hmm. And then also Eagles fans fucking travel.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you had the whole Swift and Kelsey and Trump, all that. So it was about the same. Elon fans lined up with the amount of Chiefs fans that were there, and people who hated Elon were represented by the Eagles fans that were there.
Gotcha.
And it was very, like, I'd say 80-20, 85-15 Eagles.
Based on just the number of boos?
Do you
think everyone booing Trump is an Eagles fan?
I'm going to say yes.
By and large, that's how Philadelphia goes, Philadelphia rolls?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the dynamics of the Super Bowl, right? Like, you know, I mean, the place we were just cheering for the entire building to get blown up, personally.
Yeah, a lot of people were wanting Meteor this year.
Nothing of value would have been lost, but, you know, it was one of those things where I'm watching it and I'm like, well, I don't know, like, the Super Bowl feels kind of out of reach for your average American. I don't know how many people are going there that are going to seriously be affected by anything the Trump administration is doing. Maybe their businesses because of tariffs and shit, but like, I don't know. Feels kind of performative if they're booing him or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it may have been association where Eagles fans see, you know, Kelsey and Taylor, and that's Trump.
It's less about anything he's doing in the White House and more that, like, he's taking pictures with the Chiefs players kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. They're Chiefs
guys. He's clearly a Chiefs symbol in this right now.
He's a Chiefs guy. Well, Chiefs are the last remaining, you know, non-woke team. It's crazy that we still have the Kansas City fucking Chiefs of all things, you know what I mean? Yeah. It feels like a relic of a bygone era.
And Harrison Butker, their kicker, needs to now go in the kitchen.
That's the misogynist guy.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Get fucked, idiots.
Yeah. I'm glad that we put down Tom Brady in his prime after his best season, and we're going to be the cause of the removal of Taylor Swift from football.
Are the Eagles forming the Vanguard Party of professional sports? They're just the people they're just going to start cleaning house of all these ghouls?
I mean, the last two Super Bowl winners that were like, positioned as the good guys were them. Every other good guy since the two Eagles wins have lost.
That's fucking. I gotta find who's on the Eagles that's like posting about politics regularly and just follow them. Who's the most woke player on the Eagles?
Most woke player on the Eagles. I don't know.
Hmm.
An Eagles player I want to shout out is Sweat. He got 2.5 sacks this game and like was a beast all game. And he plays melee.
Nice. Who's his main?
He plays Falcon and Marth.
Is he going to Genesis?
I don't think so. I think he's too big for that. But at Florida State, he was taking games.
Okay.
He's actually like good and knows how to wave dash and shit.
Okay.
So shout out to Sweat.
Yeah, speaking of Genesis, that's coming up this coming weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's this weekend.
Because Super Bowl, you know, I don't know if you got anything else you want to say about it. I feel like we said it.
Yeah, just, yeah, top five sports victory for me in my life, yeah.
Yeah, I would say top five friends hang.
Nice.
Of
this month?
Of the 20s. Of the 2020 era. Because nice. I feel like that was a I'm going to keep using this word, even though it's not correct. A seminal moment.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like that for most people in one way or another, 2020 was like a start of a new chapter in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to find my place, and it just really felt like a great time with some really cool people. And I was like, man, this is cool.
Yeah.
Being able to spend like 5 or 6 hours consecutively with people and you're just like mostly fully present is pretty cool. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
It helped that my phone was the fucking broadcast. And so I was forced to sit there and be like, I have to listen to the people in the room and not just read the takes online or look at funny pictures in my phone.
My birthday party was a bit of a warm up.
Yeah.
You still had your phone though.
For sure. Yeah.
But
yeah, Genesis.
Well, I was going to say for
San Jose.
Yeah. For the overall viewing experience, the Patriots one was a much better game because there was no punts.
Okay.
So that was way more hype. In terms of, I don't remember the other games in terms of scores. I think the last two Super Bowls were like better because they were both like decided by 3 points.
Yeah.
But you know, the Chiefs won both of them. So
yeah, as a casual viewer, we're an awful Super Bowl.
Right.
Because
yeah.
You're just like, oh, this team's just getting dominated. I mean, yeah. Unless you are a casual in the sense that you're like, you like to see the Chiefs lose. Like, that's right. Fine.
Or a casual who likes politics, this is a pretty good Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think the real winners were the liberals at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So,
except for they fell asleep during the Kendrick show.
No, they were juiced up about it on social media. They were hashtag resistancing from what I saw. They're like, they were usually specifically using words like protest. Like, he just protested on the national stage with the president in attendance, and it was like screenshots of Sam Jackson and stuff. Like,
I see
what a strong resistance message or whatever. I don't know,
because I know,
and of course, nothing about the fella, you know, with the flags and stuff. It was just all about the performance.
Because I know there was a bunch of white liberals who voted for Kamala who definitely fell asleep and did not know anyone at the halftime show who didn't care about it.
Oh, sure. But those are more, yeah. But those are the people who pay lip service to black folks and brown folks, but they don't actually know any black people.
Yeah.
No, right. Absolutely.
Now we can go to Genesis.
Who's the most liberal character in Smash Brothers Melee? Who's the fuck? Who would have voted for Kamala?
Who would have voted for Kamala?
Yeah, of the Melee cast.
Peach, obviously. Peach.
Yeah. White woman. Absolutely. Well, you know how these white women go. They typically, it's like 56% of them.
Yeah.
Go conservative. So.
Well, I was thinking, voted for Trump was obviously Captain Falcon.
Yeah. Is he a fascist? Is Captain Falcon just pure, like,
oh, yeah.
might makes right, motherfucker?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Peach. I don't know. I could see Peach being the whole, like, well, I'm a feminist in power, so thus stan Kamala.
Yeah.
But I could also be like, well, I'm fucking rich, so who cares?
She is a princess.
Yeah. She is the one white lady crowning over a bunch of mushrooms.
Yeah. Keep these fucking toads in line. But yeah, you're going to, it's in San Jose.
Yep.
Genesis, which is, if you're not familiar, it's the Super Bowl of Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, so all the stars are going to be there.
Yep.
Winning Time, Grink,
Mango. Hungry Box. Not Leffen. Leffen got visa screwed again.
No shit.
Yeah.
He's Swedish?
Yes.
And, like, was that his country or our country? I imagine our country.
Our country, probably.
Yeah. Like, not letting him in or whatever.
Yeah. All he retired from Melee to play Strive, and then all he does is tweet, like, going live on this game that fucking sucks, or gotta kill myself for play Strive, I guess, but kind of the same. So he's so miserable playing Strive, and just like, I guess he's just waiting for that other game to come out that should be billions of dollars.
The League of Legends fighter.
Yeah.
Project, formerly known as Project L, now known as 2XKO.
Yeah, 2XKO.
Which we can talk about a little bit, but I want to hear about you texted me. Or no, you called me.
I called you.
Which, I don't know if you've ever called me before.
I think I've called you
maybe about for a welfare check.
That or like literally, I think it's 2 years ago now, about the playoff game we went to.
Oh, right. Warriors, Kings, round just one. Trying to coordinate.
Yeah. Well, because I didn't know if like, because I knew you were at the, with Eric.
Yeah.
So I was thinking like, you know, his phone's probably down right now. So I'm going to call to see if the buzz will get him to answer it. Mm-hmm. And I went to tell him that if I beat one Fox, I get to play Mango. And for those not familiar, this is like, imagine there is a tennis open that's more prestigious than Wimbledon. And you get there, and you have to beat one guy and then get to play Roger Federer.
Yeah.
Just the best player to ever do it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Tope, the fans can feel it. The Mango Nation is expecting a first-place finish here.
Mm-hmm. That is big. I don't think Zane landed.
They are one stock away from getting it.
That's the Edgehog, and Zane, he's going to win on the wrong transformation.
Zane can do this.
Oh, man. Yeah, that shit. Oh, he might not even get it. He gets it. He picks up the back air.
Zane has done this already in this set.
Mm-hmm.
But after Levin got... Whoa. Mango DIing away. Yeah. Missing a wave dash.
Oh, what Zane was he looking for? That could not have been intentional. Maybe looking for a wave dash back into that. And Mango with all the state presence. Zane, no job.
And that's hopefully going to be you. Hopefully the guy you face in the first bracket isn't also just some like savant that's just been out of the game for however long.
So I looked him up.
Hopefully
a
it's
bit.
Like a 10-year-old.
That'd be awesome. Well, I looked him up and he has a similar like start.gg record to me.
Yeah.
But I am seeded to beat him.
Okay.
So I am favored in the the match of two dumpster babies to play Mango.
That'd be crazy, dude. And like, Mango's a big enough name because the whole thing is like, are you going to be on stream?
Right.
And it's a big enough name that it's possible.
The only thing going against me is that they'll probably be streaming round two pools by then.
Yeah.
Because I'm playing him on Saturday when there's already like Grink's going to be playing on Friday.
Oh, so does your pool not start till Saturday?
Yeah, it doesn't start until 1 p.m. on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, if it's like Mango's, like one of his first matches, I could see them still wanting to put him on
TV. Like, here's Mango. Here's, and then there's 10,000 views for the Twitch stream.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe. That's the goal anyway. And I hope my Fox just does something cracked for a stock against Mango. Or just make me, the thing that probably is going to happen that if he remembers my Fox in any way, is that I'm going to be hard to hit and my recovery is really good just because I practice against Grink, who's way better than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting better at just pretty much defense. I'm really bad off the hit still against someone better than me, but maybe I could screw with Mango's combo tree.
So you've never played him before, right? You've never matched him in any way.
Mango?
Yeah.
No, never. And Grink hasn't either.
Gotcha. Have you been at events where he's been at before?
No, this is my first like melee event, really. I've been to some locals, but this is my first major.
You guys were just like, hey, let's go just the fucking, let's go all in.
Yeah, because we wanted to do it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what came up.
Gotcha.
Glad I didn't go because J-Mook won that tournament. Fuck that guy.
We're also in Northern California, so it's like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, you could travel more and probably pay more money to go to some regional tournaments.
Right.
But as far as like just snapping at my cat on top of the fridge, you could probably pay more money and go to like some more like regional tournaments or whatever. But when the big show is coming to town, you might as well just like go to the big show.
Yeah. And the big show, the biggest show of the melee circuit is always in San Jose.
Yeah. Might as well just go to that.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
And it might be probably the last time that me and Green go out for a tournament.
It's a lot. It's a
just because
a lot of effort.
And also the scene is dying and just like everyone plays on fucking boxes and they're all on Slippy.
Yeah.
And we're playing on dinosaur controllers that like are from like Nintendo themselves.
Yeah, you guys are the boomers.
Yeah. Our controller just will not dash back sometimes.
Yeah. And also just like in-person stuff is just so, it's really fun, but like it'd be, it's going to only get more expensive as time goes on, you know, like hotels and all that. It's going to be very difficult to, I think, you know.
Yeah, that's why I'm happy it's in San Jose, because Rebecca's family lives there.
Right, free room and board.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Don't have to worry about it.
And then I'm the other cool thing about this experience is I'm taking Rebecca's younger brother there, because he entered Ultimate.
Right. Yeah, I'm curious, because it's a 3-day event. Are the Melee finals on Sunday? Or yeah. Okay. So all the finals, again, are on Sunday, I guess, for the most part. Okay.
And cool thing for Grink is he's going up against Fuzziness, for the one person who knows who that is. but then otherwise, we'll have a bunch of Foxes and Falcos to make it out of pools.
Yeah.
So he might make it to day two, which would be fun. And then otherwise, as long as Mango's in top eight, I'll be watching that. Otherwise, on Sunday, I'll just be taking Rebecca's brother to watch Ultimate Top 8.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if the Eagles winning the Super Bowl helps or hurts me against Mango. Mm-hmm. I have no shot of beating him either way, but just if he's super drunk and not feeling it, I have a chance. I am going to have him sign my Brian Dawkins jersey probably on stream.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
So yeah, good luck with all that, man. I do hope that happens for you. I think that would be awesome. Like, it would be really fun in a time, again, where so much shit is happening.
Yeah.
That you get two dubs early on in the year.
I know.
Between the football and the Melee.
If I beat my round one opponent and coming off of this Eagles win, it's going to be a very expensive February and March where I'm just, the vibes are so high, I'm getting takeout all the fucking time.
Might as well.
What do you got going on? Oh, dude, isn't Wednesday your birthday?
Wednesday is my birthday, yeah.
Yeah.
I have booked a massage for myself.
Ooh, yeah.
We're going to spend a couple hours over at the bathhouse.
Think of going to round one?
I was considering it, yeah. But, you know, it's like a trip up there. I think for Wednesday itself, it mm-hmm. would just be, because I don't want to go to an arcade during the week either. I would rather be there on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, go up there on the weekend, but we'll see. This is a weird week because, you know, I'm coming out of the fog of January.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend was really kind of just like my coming out party of like, I hung out with people outside of my apartment every single day this weekend. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Well,
you have someone you live with.
Right, I have someone, but we go to like our friends' places sometimes for a week.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, especially living by yourself. Like there were times, and will be again, where it's like, you know, 3 or 4 days pass, and I haven't left the apartment, and I'm like, damn, I gotta get outside.
Yeah, the only time I came close to that was at Oregon State my freshman year because I was so lucky getting a dorm room by myself.
Ah, okay.
So there were like 4 days where the only thing I said was thank you to someone giving me my sandwich.
Just gooning the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be a weird week. You know, I'm still feeling a little iffy about, you know, like I returned to work this week, man. And I was there this morning and it's, you know, I think it's just a time where I'm kind of just looking at, you know, reevaluating things in my life and kind of reprioritizing things. I didn't think Trump's inauguration would affect me as much as it has, but it really has been a wake-up call for me. You know, there was a time in 2020, you know, I have this on right now, like this little neck gaiter that, like, you know, is to keep my neck warm, quote unquote, and I could pull it up over my face at any time to keep my my face warm.
Yeah.
And when I first started wearing these in 2020, it felt like a LARP.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel that way anymore.
It's become you.
Yeah. And I was doing that on purpose, right? I was going, because like in 2020, when all the protests were happening, because last Wednesday I went to the first of, I assume, many pink pussy hat parties.
Yeah.
Down at the Capitol. You know, it was one of those really meaningful protests where they were, you know, had strong messaging like lock him up and deport Elon.
Yeah.
You know, just really progressive ideals.
I got dragged into one of those during his first run in San Francisco.
Uh-huh. I mean,
there's a picture of me with one on.
Listen, dude, like, you know, honestly, I wish I could have been there. I wish I had one myself. It was a time and a place. There was only 3 pussy hats that I saw at this event.
Oh, okay.
So I was a little disappointed. There's plenty of good signs. The one that stuck out the most in my head was one that just said, "Seriously, ... what the fuck?" And I was like, yeah.
I was hoping that would end with kill yourself.
Yeah. I mean, when I needed, you know, sometimes when I'm speaking about politics, brother, sometimes I'm speaking to everyone and sometimes I'm just speaking to people that get it.
Yeah.
And this was definitely a moment where I'm just like, yeah, I think I'm kind of done just like appealing to liberals in general.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to show up to this fucking protest. Not only is it some dumb bullshit, like 50 states, and it's like, you're going to see this happen a lot in the next 4 years. It's all these orgs and quote unquote movements that did not exist prior to this year.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying they're all ops, yeah, but they're definitely not considering the fact that there are organizations in your communities, especially in the capitals of each country, that are already doing this type of work and have been doing this type of work long before 2020, long before 2016 in many cases.
Yeah.
So the fact that like this is the first big thing and it's put on by 50 states. Do you know? Have you seen this link? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No. Just because, like, as you were saying about, like, you know, like coming out of the, you didn't think Trump would affect you this much.
Yeah.
A lot of it is because of this fucking depression brick.
Yeah. Our phones suck, man. It's a ball and chain. Yeah. Well, that's the hard part when, like, because so much of the reporting around things is like, he's dismantling this agency, but like, you didn't know that agency existed.
Yeah.
You know, and in the same way that like conservatives didn't know what USAID was until, right, you know, it's like, you shouldn't let that affect the way you move, because if you are, that means you weren't really this time around. I think there are people, and every election cycle is another chance for more people to wake the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
I think this election cycle is once again going to show that there's no amount of things getting worse that will radicalize someone that doesn't want to be radicalized. And the majority of Americans do not care. They want their treats. The thing I keep going back to is the fact that we have bananas year round in this country.
Yeah.
Do you understand how insane that is? Bananas do not grow year round.
Mm-mm.
Avocados do not grow year round. The fact that most Americans do not understand growing seasons for produce, They fucking will in the next 20 years. So yeah, like this time around, you know, just all these, like, you're still going to go to work and you're still going to get a paycheck or whatever, but all of the social fabric is going to start to tear, you know, as we realize that like these structures that have been built for us, or that in large part, some of us, you know, people were more involved in their government 50, 60, 70 years ago, but we kind of just like pushed, you know, as things got worse and worse in the 70s and 80s, as far as like, you know, labor goes,
mm-hmm,
we've kind of been, when I say we, I mean like working people are further and further removed from the halls of power. Right. And then like Citizens United in the early 2000s, which basically allows corporations to be counted as people when it comes to like funding elections and shit.
Yeah.
Just all of this, like, people have been banging this drum for a long fucking time, and we're here. This is the moment. And it's like, it's not worth me really going into all the details because I'm dumb and it's just going to sound like a dumb guy yelling at you. But like, this is it, man. Like, if you want, it's the simple way to put it that I would never post this on my socials, because I think it's, you know, kind of shallow, and it's shallow and pedantic. But if you wondered what you were doing in 1935 in Nazi Germany, you're doing it right now. Like,
yeah,
straight the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ready to fucking do some cool ass shit, like, this is the time to do it. You got to find people to be safe with. You know, you got to learn how to grow food. You got to learn how to like be safe in community. You got to learn how to talk to your fucking neighbors. But otherwise, if you're just sitting around still looking at your phone, you're gonna be looking at your phone while your people are getting fucking shipped off to camps. I mean, that's already happening.
Yeah.
That was happening under the Biden administration, though.
Yep.
Because you're following the fucking,
that's happening under Obama too.
You're fucking A, man. So like, at some point, dude, it's just like, you have to disconnect fully from liberal media as a whole. Cause it while it is important, like, my only connection to liberal media now is my friends' wives. Don't get me wrong, some of them are fantastic people, but there is an aspect where I'm just like, what are you, like, you know, you don't need to know every single thing that Trump did in the last 72 hours because you can't affect that. You know what you can affect? You can go and meet people. You can go meet your neighbors.
Yeah.
You can, you know, straighten up your house. You can play with your kids. You can go for a walk, you know. Get involved in your community is how this stuff gets fixed. But if you're just staying inside your four walls and watching your streaming programs every night and then only leaving the house to go to work or buy something, you're kind of enabling it at a certain point. You know what I mean? So I guess without me just ranting, you know, forever, it would just be like encouraging people to find organizations in their communities, not just a protest, because it's not an event. The revolution is not an event.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Kendrick, I haven't even listened to the fucking song. The Mustard song? That song's called Turn Off the Fucking TV.
Yeah.
Gil Scott Heron was saying that 50 years ago. Revolution will not be televised. You should go listen to that song. Yeah. That would be my homework for you.
Yeah.
Listen to that song in its entirety. And listen to the fucking lyrics. This shit has been happening since it happened in the 60s. It happened in the 80s. It happened in the 40s.
Yeah.
It's been happening forever. There's nothing new about anything here. So... I don't know. There's a lot of hand wringing and it's just like, I don't know, just go fucking. I've just started going up and talking to cops and just like, not being hostile towards them.
Just like, what are you doing here? Like what are you actually like?
I was trying to figure out. So the other day I was walking back from the gym and I'm always fascinated by the non-traditional police officers, right? Like the ones that are either on a bicycle or a horse. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get that job?
Yeah. You have horse cops around where you live.
Yeah. Which is like, cause it's the Capitol, right? So it's like kind of like it's a literal pony show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think those are state police, maybe county. Mm-hmm. They're not city guys, but the city cops that are on bikes, there's a few of them because I live near a bunch of government buildings here downtown. And so I walked up to him and I was asking him, like, how do you get like bike duty? I was like, and I finding ways of making fun of cops to their faces because they're all really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Not some of them know that like you're also making fun of them. Like most people don't approach police.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they know that like I'm a weirdo already. But also a lot of them seem to not be able to understand like. They're actually really bad at like reading body language and stuff. I don't know. I don't feel like the most emotionally intelligent individuals enter the police force. Would you say that's accurate?
My answer will be playing the clip of Hands Up, Don't Shoot.
So, I was just asking him like, you know, so what did you guys draw, you know, the short straws or something? How'd you get? And they're like, no, we're like, you know, we're like the substitutes, but you know, usually the guys who are riding the bicycles are like the same guys. And I was like, oh yeah, for like a fitness reasons, right? Like you don't want to pull a hamstring and you know how it always works when there's multiple officers, there's just one guy that talks to you.
Yeah.
That it's like part of the protocol. The senior officer will talk to you. And so, and this guy was about my height. So he was able to like, you know, kind of, you know, be a little bit more stern with me.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he's like, well, no, it's. He's like, well, we're all supposed to maintain shape. And I was like, yeah.
Famously, cops.
are always just the best. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a schlubby guy after the Kings game on Saturday, Light the Beam, fucking almost lost the worst team in the West.
Yeah.
Or the East. I don't know. Are the Pelicans West. East or West?
They're West, stupidly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Funny enough, New Orleans, right?
Yep.
Yeah, crazy. So... Yeah, Kings tried to shit the bed with that, but thankfully they lit the beam for me and the boys. But there was a schlubby fella out there directing traffic, and taking my shit posting offline is stickers, right? In different capacities. You know, I don't mind being called a sticker kid. Like, I don't care. Like, in the graph community, when I'm getting up around town, you know, the sticker shit is for kids. But I was thinking about this today, or yesterday, rather. Like, if you're someone that's trying to, like, you know, get in and out of places and jump fences, you're usually not 6'3", 270.
No.
You're more of like a 5'6", 140 kind of fella. So, like, you know, I got to play my position. I'm not trying to be the wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, I'm offensive line or whatever. Yeah. So, I'm going up front. I'm yapping with the dumb motherfucker, you know, about his bicycle or whatever. But then what's nice with stickers is like, you know, there's plenty of signs around town. So I'm able to just
slap.
I'm like 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I do feel bad for the poor city employee that has to. I've seen him on our street.
Scrape him down.
Literal milk crate in order for him to get enough height to get up there. But, you know, I mean, it's keeping him employed.
Yeah.
You know, he's staying busy.
Make them work for it.
He's staying busy. But I've been having a lot of fun giving stickers to cops. Because, you know, they're public servants, right? So you're allowed to come up and talk to them or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I'm inspired by people. There's a gal, Crackhead Barney.
What do crack wars look like?
Just like you. I mean, you dress like so like, barbaric.
That sounds racist. You're calling me a barbarian.
Yeah.
Oh, you're racist.
Yes, I am.
Are you familiar with Crackhead Barney?
No.
She goes to a lot of, she's New York based, and she goes to a black woman. She goes to a lot of events, and she'll often just like cover herself in like baby powder and be like, I'm a white woman. And like, she's like just doing like crazy. She's called Crackhead Barney because she doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. She rules. But it's a lot of like, yeah, like just going up and like talking to police and being like, why are you a fucking piece of shit? You know, but in like a funny way.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's pretty inspirational. But obviously that's something that given my disposition and my life choices, you know, I know as much as these orange cats really love me, if I, you know, had to get locked up for a few days, I could have someone swing by and, you know, whatever. If some cop decided to get tough with me.
Yeah.
Because I handed him a sticker that says he has a small penis or something. That's the thing, though. I'm always very polite. Mm-hmm. Like, everything about me says I hate your fucking guts.
Yeah.
If they're paying any attention. But my words are always friendly and respectful.
Yeah.
So I think if you want to try and incorporate that in your own lives in some way, not saying, you know, not everyone has opportunity. You know, I live in a relatively major city.
Yeah.
So there are just police out and about. Not everyone's a big quirked up white boy like myself, but finding ways of, you know, quote unquote, unaliving the cop in your mind. And part of that is talking to police officers, because you're supposed to be like, they want you to be scared of them. And the sooner you can start getting over that fear, the sooner you can recognize that these fucking fascists don't stand a fucking chance.
Yeah.
They're all little scared babies at the end of the day. It's an ideology of cowards.
Yeah.
That's what, like, it requires no growth to be like, oh yeah, the people who don't look like me, that's why my life sucks.
Yeah.
It's like the most basic bitch shit. And as someone who has always prided themselves, I shouldn't use the word pride as a white boy. As someone who has always...
I mean, look at the...
True. I have my Everyone Welcome sweatshirt on. Yeah. You know, I'm queer-coded. Well, the shirt underneath it is from Punk with a Camera, and it says, kill your masters with a beheaded king. So, yeah, I guess all I'm saying is, you know, with this kind of going off about politics of the last couple of weeks, I just find ways to dissent. In whatever way is safe for you, that you can get home at the end of the night. And if that is just posting online, okay. Like, that's better than nothing, I guess. But you should really be doing something in your community. Even if it's just, like, making time to spend with your neighbors. Maybe neighbors that didn't vote the same way as you. Maybe neighbors that don't exactly like the same things you do. But part of beating fascism is finding our human commonality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like there's never going to be, at this particular rate, structural change that is for good if you vote Democrat or whatever.
No, absolutely not.
I think
there was a clip today of some guy being like, they control some representative being like, they control the House and this. We don't have any power.
Uh-huh.
They held everything. You got to vote more next time. Fuck off.
And I think Obama had, you know, the thing of, I'm gonna say it, a lot of people liked that he was black.
I'm gonna say it.
Biden won because of COVID. If there wasn't COVID, Trump would have won again.
Yeah.
I think if Trump does something where term limits or like handpicks J.D. Vance or whatever to be the next Republican candidate.
Sure.
Yes. I think they'll lose, not because of anything that matters, but because of public stupidity, in the sense where I think after seeing this Eagle Super Bowl, people don't like seeing Elon Musk win. Yeah. I think more than Trump, Elon has a higher disapproval rating.
Yeah, well, because we didn't vote for Elon. That was a big thing at the protest I went to. People were, again, they don't, not a single Palestinian flag in sight. There's a few people with like keffiyehs on and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of real ones out
there.
Go
birds.
Yeah, go birds. There's a couple of real motherfuckers out there. But for the most part, it was people who were upset that Elon was doing things in the government. I would say it was almost like 60-40, maybe even like 70-30, like Elon bad, because we didn't vote for him as the American people.
Yeah.
Not necessarily recognizing, you know, that like the system as a whole has to go. And again, that's why this protest org that popped up, whatever it is, 50 protests. It's like, what even is that? What is their message?
Yeah.
It's like, what does that, like, just a protest in every capital. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's literally what the Democrats' message has always been. It's like, look how bad that is.
Right. And it's also a way of alleviating tensions. Like, oh, if the liberals are, if you're getting a little too fired up, let's have a protest where you can go and yell and to the crowd. I don't think they had any politicians out there. Like, there wasn't even any Democratic representation. If that's what it was about, and they didn't have a speaker set up, like, they had a megaphone. And it was like, probably, I don't know, 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I'm not that great at crowd sizes, but like, it just felt, you know, for as much traction as that one got in Sacramento, and I didn't follow up with it at all because who gives a shit? It just felt like, you know, it was again, we're returning to the pussy hat era of hashtag resistance of like, we're going to get in the streets about every 2 or 3 months, and it's going to be, you know, approved and all that kind of stuff. You know, we're definitely going to do some peace policing. Like, if anybody shows up and they start, you know, chanting things we don't like, we're going to ask them to leave, you know,
and we're going to all agree for 12 hours to post a black square.
Yeah. Make sure you use the hashtag. So it's trending. So everyone's hashtag aware of the hashtag resistance, you know? And I say all this stuff, Cameron, understanding that it's all a process. And like, I get that I had a lot of privilege, you know, early in my life. And the fact that I was able to connect some dots in 2016 and 2020 that maybe some people are still working on is fine. And we don't all have to even agree, even once you recognize that the American empire is the enemy, right? Like, there is no voting this out. There's still disagreements there. And like, that's where solidarity comes in. It's like, yeah, but we're not trying to get all of the, it's not a test. There's not like perfect answers. We're just trying to build something better than what we got. And I think if you're still attached to the idea of reforming this in any way, you should probably start reading more than just Instagram posts, or at least listening to people that do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm almost level 60 on my warrior now. I got a Black Rock Depths run in with some buddies the other day, which was super fun. And I did miss my Molten Core raid on Saturday. Uh-huh. Remember, I finished our last episode singing MC Raiders. Can I have that as the outro this week?
You want that again?
I just want the song.
Oh, I already had...
What song were you thinking for today? Did you have a song in your head?
It's My Life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, yeah. Enjoy the sultry tones of John Bon Jovi. His 2000, did we look it up? It was 2000 hit. It's My Life. Oh, and I have a new name, sorry.
From the album Crashed.
From the album Crashed. And I have I love the fade in, right?
Yeah,
it's so good. And I have a new name for our fans.
Not CP Enjoyers?
CP Enjoyers, those are the real ones. Those are the OGs.
Okay.
But now it's just the Pussy Eaters. Because they gobble it up. Because they're the fucking, you know, they're the best. Till next time, Pussy Eaters. It's my